Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Looking at the Message, Say So. Psalm 107. And verse 2. And Brother Johnson, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord what? Say so. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Have we been redeemed from the hand of the enemy? Then let us say so. Amen. Let us not be ashamed of it. Let us not be embarrassed because of it. Let us not be hesitant. Let us say so. Admit the fact that we are Christians and not ashamed of it. Notice with me in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 11. Romans 10:11. We should not be embarrassed, ashamed. This word, ashamed, the Greek word has the idea of blushing. We shouldn't blush when someone says, "Oh, are you a Christian?" Brother Medichero was sharing, I believe he was in Texas at one time, and he went to see a doctor, and of course Brother Medichero likes to tease people, but he said something to the doctor, I don't know what it was, but I don't know who said it first, but Brother Medichero was witnessing to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Oh, are you one of those?" You know, meaning a Christian. And I just can't think. My mind went blank. But so Brother Medichero just come right back, "Are you one of those?" You know, and it's, he's quick at his thoughts. I could pray for Brother Medichero and his physical needs. We would love to see him be able to be healed and back on the mission field where his heart longs to be. But in Romans 10 and verse 11, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall what? Not be ashamed." My wife and I were in the hospital this week, and one of the nurses came up to us and said that she knew a mutual acquaintance of ours. And well, we did not know this nurse, but she wasn't mistaken. She knew who we were, and she knew that we were friends with a certain family. And so she wasn't mistaken there, but come to find out, how she recognized my wife and I was from riding the church gospel float at Cedar Springs. And so it's like, wow, talk about good memory. I mean, if you saw someone going by on a church float, I mean, would you remember their face from that? I thought, wow, that is really extraordinary. But what it reminded me of was that people watch us, don't they? And so we do not want to be ashamed of the Lord. So just by being on that float in Cedar Springs, not being ashamed of the Lord, this lady recognized us. And I think I know your heart in the same way as what I want in my life. When people look at me and see me, I don't want them to think about me. I want them to think about who? Jesus. Yeah, the Lord. And so I know that's on your heart as well. And so let's not be ashamed of the Lord. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. When people see me, I just want them to think of Jesus. Not think of me, but I just want them, their thoughts, to go to Jesus. Because we don't know how long we have here, do we? But there are many people in this world. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You know, there are a lot of people in this world who do not know who the real enemy is, do they? They don't know. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 5, but we know who he is. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because what? Your adversary, who? The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So we know who the enemy is. I read recently about, I think it was in Arizona, the DNR down there put down, I think it was 3 mountain lions. They came across, in fact, maybe someone tipped them off about this, but they came across 3 mountain lions that were feeding on the body of a dead person. And the reason they said they put the mountain lions down was because they said they didn't seem to be afraid of the officers when they came. And I found that interesting. You know, they probably didn't realize it, but going right back to the beginning, God put man in dominion over the animals. So sometimes even animals that can run much faster than we can run and move much quicker than we can move and are much more fierce than we are, maybe apart from a gun in our hands. It's amazing, isn't it? But those officers found it strange that those 3 cats didn't run at the sight of them. And so that was the reason they put them down. Because in those 3 cats' eyes, man no longer had dominion. They were feeding on one of those bodies right there. And so they killed the mountain lions. We know who our adversary is. He's as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. There was a king in the Old Testament once, though, who did not know the real enemy. And notice with me in Esther chapter 7. Esther chapter 7. There was a king who didn't realize who the enemy was. He had to be told. In fact, this king was giving the enemy great freedom and great reign under his rule. And he didn't even know it. There was a devil in his midst. Esther 7 and verse 5. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he? And where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, the adversary. Well, that word looks familiar, doesn't it? Who did we just read about that's an adversary? The devil. The adversary and enemy is this who? Wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. If you back up to chapter 3, Esther 3, this same adversary, this same wicked one, King Ahasuerus was giving great freedom and reign to do things. In fact, he was exalting him. And it makes me wonder, how many people on the face of this earth are giving great freedom and great reign in their lives to the adversary, to Satan, and they don't even realize it? Esther 3 and verse 1, after these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, of the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat, what? Above all the princes that were with him. So he put Haman in the highest spot, and yet Haman was an adversary. Haman was a wicked one. And yet he thought he was a trusted, loyal servant of his. In Esther 3 and verse 8, Esther 3, 8, and Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, And their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it unto the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jews' what? Enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth what? Good to thee. You know, when people go against God, they think they are escaping bondage, don't they? They think when they go against God and don't obey His laws that they're escaping bondage to God. But what are they really doing? They're putting themselves in chains to who? The devil. John 8:34, whosoever committeth sin is what? The servant of sin. That's what they're really doing. They're putting themselves in bondage to a very evil, wicked one. You know, it amazes me how the news media says nothing bad against Islam and is very free to say all kinds of bad things against us as Christians. When the fact of the matter is that the news media has tremendous freedom in our land to say what they want. In this land that was founded upon the Bible, put those same news media that are glorifying Islam and Muslims in our country, put that those same news media in a Muslim country, and you know what? Their freedoms are gone. They're gone. And yet, it doesn't seem to click, does it? They're trashing our nation. They're trashing Christians. They're trashing freedom. They're trashing the way our government is set up. But that's what gives them their jobs. They would do well to read about some Iranian news people. I read this last week that some Iranian news anchors quit their job. And they apologize to the people of Iran for all the lies that they have told over the years. And they said they can't do it anymore. Does that tell you something? The state-run Iran news media, they don't say what the truth, and they know it. They know they're saying lies, but they still do it. It just shows. So King Ahasuerus here was giving a devil, an adversary, a wicked man, free rein, giving him his ring, his official seal to stamp on whatever he wanted to write. And the problem is this. King Ahasuerus was in the dark. Number one, because the king's wife, Esther, was what? A Jew. And he just let Haman sign the death warrant for all Jews. All Jews to be killed. He told the king they weren't of any profit to the king. I think the king might have an objection to that because one of those Jews was his wife, but he did not know it. Why did he not know it? Well, chapter 2, verse 10. Esther 2, in verse 10. Esther had not showed her people nor what? Her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. Now, what's ironic is that Mordecai, when he gets in a jam, shows that he's a Jew. He tells his friends that he's a Jew. Because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to Haman. And his friends were wondering, why aren't you bowing down to Haman? And, well, he needed a reason. So he confessed that he was a Jew. He told Esther, don't tell anyone that you're a Jew. So Mordecai didn't follow his own advice and got into a big problem here. So Haman's law that he made here was a little problem to the king because his wife was a Jew. And number two, the other problem is they were so prideful that they had a law that their laws couldn't be reversed. So, I mean, they never wanted to admit they were wrong, so they had a law that when they made a law, it could never be reversed. Well, that's not a good law to make, is it? Esther chapter 8. Esther 8 and verse 8. Esther 8 and verse 8. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may what? No man reverse. Now he's really in a jam. He's allowed Haman, this wicked adversary, to make a law and seal it with his very own seal that all the Jews were to be destroyed in his kingdom. He does not know his wife is a Jew, and now the law can't be reversed. He's in kind of a jam here. So Haman was just a puppet in the devil's hands, and the world is filled with such people today. And of course, the only thing they could do in this situation, the only legal thing that they could do in this situation was they could make a law that the Jews could fight back. That's the only thing they could do. And so that's the law they made. And seeming Mordecai now was brought in and shown what he was to Queen Esther. And seeming Esther, the queen, is a Jew. The tables turned. And so now people were afraid to go at the Jews. A lot of people were. And so they sided with Mordecai. And the Bible says many of the land became Jews because of the fear of Mordecai. But the world is filled with people in bondage today. Notice 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. They think they're free, but they're in bondage. 2 Timothy 2:24. 2 Timothy 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that what? Oppose themselves. Now, an unsaved person would never admit it, but in eternity, they're going to see the truth of it. Throughout life, as long as they remained lost, they were opposing themselves. That's a foolish thing to do, isn't it? I mean, how many people would go out and flatten their own tires just before they had to go to work? Well, that's foolish. What are you going to do? How are you going to get to work? How many people would do that? Well, unsaved people do that very thing. Verse 24, verse 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may what? Recover themselves. There's all kinds of recovery programs today. Why? Because people have given themselves to sin. They haven't given themselves to Christ. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of who? The devil. Who are taken captive by him at what? His will. His will. That's a scary spot to be in, isn't it? We need to be so much in prayer for our nation. This week starts a Senate trial for our president. There are so many people in our country who have no clue who the real enemy is. I mean, no clue. They believe everything they hear in the news, and they don't check anything out. And it's like what social media is causing our country to become. It's mob rule. It's like in the book of Acts, where the city was in an uproar, and the more part knew not why they were there, but they were protesting something, protesting a Christian against Christians, and didn't even know why they were there. You know, the real battle in this nation is not political, even though there is a fierce political battle going on. But the real root of the problem is not the two major political sides. The real problem is spiritual. Notice in Ephesians 6, and verse 12, The Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world." Against what? Spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're facing. This country was not founded upon Catholicism. What is Catholicism? Well, that's a term for the Catholic Church. This country was not founded upon the Catholic Church. Our forefathers who came from Europe did not want another repeat of the Dark Ages in Europe. It was the Catholic Church. It was the Catholic Inquisition that caused the Dark Ages in Europe. It caused a multitude of people to be burnt at the stake, to be tracked down and killed. And it resulted in people just desiring their own copy of the Bible, but that was a crime. Desiring to translate the Bible into the common tongue of the people, that was a crime. That's what the Catholic Church brought upon Europe. This country was not founded upon the Catholic Church. But you just stop and think of how many senators and congressmen in our country are Catholic. And it tells you right there a huge problem. And you may say, "Wow, how do you dare say that?" Ask the forefathers if they wanted this country founded on the Catholic Church. No, no, 1,000 times no. They had seen the results. They had seen leadership and overbearing power from the Catholic Church. This country was not founded upon the Catholic Church. This country was not founded upon Islam. This country was not founded upon the Quran. This country was founded upon the Bible. That's what it was founded upon. My family has been to Washington, D.C. I have never seen an inscription from the Quran in any stone, marble edifice in Washington, D.C. Not one quote from the Quran. But I saw quotes all over from the Bible, the Word of God. This country did not want to be founded upon Islam. The forefathers of our nation knew full well what Islam was like. Why did the Crusades take place? Because of the bloodthirsty Islam that were trying to conquer and take over. So we see in our nation more and more a catering to people in the Catholic Church in very high places. And more, especially these freshmen, Congress people, that are Islam, and the trouble that they are inciting in our land. Our forefathers knew that's what would happen. And they were trying to escape Islam, escape the Catholic Church, escape the Church of England. They did, you know, you talk about the separation of church and state. They were not talking about the separation of God from government. They were talking about the separation of a state-run church like the state of England or the Church of England that was persecuting Christians. That's what they wanted. They wanted none of that. They didn't want the Catholic Church. They didn't want the Church of England. They didn't want Islam. They wanted freedom to worship from God's holy word. They never warned people to separate from God, a separation of God from government. There are so many quotes that show that our forefathers, our founding fathers, said clearly that if there was ever a separation from God in the Bible, this country would fall. Let me give you a few quotes. John Adams was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. He said this: "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Let me read that again. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Why? Because it gives so much freedom. And if you give all that freedom to someone corrupt, like someone in Islam, someone in the hierarchy of the Catholic Church, well, it only corrupts more is what happens. Thomas Jefferson, he was a signer of the Declaration of Independence and principal author of it. Thomas Jefferson said, "And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are of the gift of God?" Let me read it again. "And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are of the gift of God?" George Washington, he said, "To the distinguished character of patriot." There's a lot today about talking about, are you a patriot? We went out last night to get a bite to eat, and I was saying through the drive-thru, "Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir." And I got up to the drive-thru window, and the young man asked me, he said, "Have you served in the military of our country?" I don't think he said it exactly like that, but because my response to him was, "No, sir, but I am in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ." Something like that was my response. And he said, "Oh," he says, "I saw your hat." Well, I got a new cap for Christmas that has a United States flag on it, and "In God We Trust." So anyway, you former military people, must be Culver's gives a discount, okay, if there's any veterans here. They were ready, I guess, to give me a discount, but then they discounted the discount, I guess. But George Washington said, "To the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of Christian." So George Washington was regarding greatly the patriots. But he says there's something higher than the patriot. Something to be more distinguished than being a patriot, and that is being a Christian. Benjamin Franklin, he was a signer of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. He said, "I've lived, sir, a long time. And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. If a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured in the sacred writings that unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel." But wow, that was really something from Benjamin Franklin. As they were doing the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, he made it very clear that it's the Lord who builds the house. And if the Lord is not in this, what we're doing, we're going to succeed no more than the builders of the Tower of Babel. It'll come to naught. Noah Webster, also one of the wise men back then, he said this. He said, "The Christian religion, in its purity, is the basis, or rather the source, of all genuine freedom in government. Let me read that again. The Christian religion in its purity is the basis, or rather the source of all genuine freedom in government. And I am persuaded that no civil government of a republican form can exist and be durable in which the principles of that religion have not a controlling influence. That is what we've lost. We've lost. And some, I know, are trying to bring back these principles, but too many of our elected officials have given themselves over to governing apart from the Word of God. John Adams said this, "We recognize no sovereign but God, and no king but Jesus." Thomas Jefferson again, "The God who gave us life gave us liberty." Do you think he believed in evolution? No. The God who gave us life gave us liberty. Andrew Jackson, his face is on the $20 bill. He said this, "The Bible is the rock on which our republic rests." The Bible is the rock on which our republic rests. You know, $20 bills, and that's probably one of the more common bills that are circulated. I tried to do some research and see what form of currency has to be reprinted the most frequently, and I couldn't find an answer on that. But $20 bills are used a lot. And it's interesting, his picture is on it. That has endured for many years, and he's the one that said, "The Bible is the rock on which our republic rests." Abraham Lincoln said this, "We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power, as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God." When did he say that? Just before what? The Civil War. He says, "We have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us." Do you think Abraham Lincoln believed in evolution? No. He believed God created us. And one last quote from George Washington. He said this, "O eternal and everlasting God, direct my thoughts, words, and work. Wash away my sins in the immaculate blood of the Lamb, and purge my heart by thy Holy Spirit. Daily frame me more and more in the likeness of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that living in thy fear and dying in thy favor, I may in thy appointed time obtain the resurrection of the justified unto eternal life. Bless, O Lord, the whole race of mankind, and let the world be filled with the knowledge of thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ." That's what we need. That is what we need. The greatest thing we can do to preserve freedom in our land and to correct the wrongs in our land is to be sorry for our sin. Notice Psalm 38. As this week begins, we need to pray that God would raise up are leaders who would not be ashamed to call upon God and to live for God, would not be ashamed, of His Word. Psalm 38:18. For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be what? Sorry for my sin. And that brings us to repentance. Notice in 2 Corinthians 7. We have too many people apologizing for doing right. The world tries to shame them for their position based on the Bible. We need people who will not be ashamed. Is that not what we read? We're not to be ashamed of Him. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, we talked about, I will be sorry for my sin. 2 Corinthians 7:10. For what? Godly sorrow worketh what? Repentance to salvation. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So when we are sorry for our sins, this verse 10, this godly sorrow brings us to repentance. Repentance to salvation. We come with sorrow in our hearts before God. Sorrow over our sin. Oh God, cleanse me. Save me. Cleanse me. And then we end up back after that at Psalm 107, right where we started. Psalm 107 and verse 2. Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord what? Say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So we need to pray this week in this sober time that God would turn the counsel of the Ahithophels into foolishness. Who was Ahithophel? Ahithophel was David's top counselor. But Ahithophel quickly turned to follow his son, Absalom, in rebellion against David. And it was Ahithophel's idea to getting permission from Absalom. Ahithophel said, yeah, give me so many men and I will go out and I'll kill David, your dad, when he's weak-handed, and I'll bring all the people back. No problem. Just let me go. I'll take care of them. Talk about a bloodthirsty individual. Well, our country is filled with wicked, bloodthirsty people that seem to have no qualms about, well, even killing people. I mean, there's a lot of people in this country that openly wish that President Trump was dead. They have no qualms about saying it. And so we need to be much in prayer this week for our nation, that God would turn all the counsel of the Ahithophels, all of those wicked, conniving people, that God would just turn it all to foolishness, and that God would bless the truth and bless with righteousness. So may God help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. I pray, Father, that You would help us, Lord, to humble ourselves before You. Lord, we know the real adversary is Satan. It's much deeper than politics. It has to do with the soul. The soul. Lord, I pray there'd be a great moving revival. We know that Abraham Lincoln warned of the very things that we are seeing in Abraham Lincoln's day came the Civil War. And Father, we are in a nation divided because it's a nation not really of brothers and sisters, but a nation of two different fathers. Many, their father is the devil, and some, their father is the Heavenly Father. And so, Lord, we pray for our land. I pray that we would not get into petty political arguments. Lord, we need to plead with people about their souls. That's the real issue, and that's why their thoughts are wrong, because they don't know You. So, Lord, please help us to reach them. for it's too late. In Jesus' name.